St. Thomas More, who at the time was Lord Chancellor to Henry VIII of England, earned the utmost respect of his king. However, when he chose loyalty to God and his Catholic faith over loyalty to the king by resigning his position and later refusing to swear allegiance to the king as head of the church in England and acknowledge his adultery with Anne Boleyn as a valid and licit marriage, he was imprisoned, tried, and convicted of treason, and sentenced to death by beheading. Moments before his execution, he proclaimed to the vast crowd present that he dies as the good king's servant, but God's first. Knowing the evil intentions behind the question of the Pharisees and Herodians, our blessed Lord, instead of answering with a simple yes or no, outsmarts his tempters with a far more profound answer. Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. As citizens, we are obligated, as the Vatican II document Gaudium et Spes proclaims, to render to the state whatever material and personal services are required for the common good, but nothing more. For the state does not have, nor can it ever claim to have, absolute power and dominion. The state, on their part, have the obligation to foster the common good by the equal and just distribution of goods and services, to enact policies, laws, and decisions with the greatest and utmost respect for the dignity and rights, both natural and legal, of all people, from the moment of conception to the hour of natural death. By no means does this exclude mankind's absolute right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the protection of the family, the right of man to worship God according to the light of his conscience, and the rights of parents in the education of their children. In our own day and time, when religion, morality, and the place and dignity of the family are under such blatant and violent attack never before seen in the history of our nation, when those who are the enemies of Christ and of his church desire to twist the values of our nation, or rather, to destroy this nation itself in order to transform it to further their own evil and political agendas, we need to pray for our leaders now more than ever, both within the world, within our nation, and within our church. And why do I say prayer? Allow me to answer that with the following story. Several years ago, a priest from another diocese, I actually forget which one, wanted to start a perpetual adoration chapel in his parish. Now, this was a diocese that had never had a perpetual adoration chapel anywhere in the diocese for quite some time. And to this day, at least as far as I know, his parish is the only parish in his diocese that has perpetual adoration. Now, at first, the bishop continually denied him permission, but after much persistence on the priest's part, the bishop allowed it, and even actually came and blessed the chapel. Now, somehow, the media got wind of this, and they thought they would have an interesting story to report on. And I used the term interesting loosely. The reporter asked the priest why he is starting perpetual adoration in his parish. And mincing no words, the priest made the following reply: "For the sanctification of my people and to close the damn abortion clinic." Those were his exact words. Now, when the bishop heard this, he called the priest in and said, "Father, why are you saying such things? Do you really believe that prayer is going to close this abortion clinic?" The priest looked his bishop in the eyes and replied, "Bishop, I promise you, we will close that abortion clinic." Well, The Adoration Chapel opened on Ash Wednesday of that year. July 11th, the Feast of Saint Benedict, was the last day that abortion clinic was open. Never underestimate the power of prayer. The reason why our world and society is in the situation we are now is because we are not praying. Man has forgotten the God from whom comes not only his life, but his freedom. For God is the embodiment of life and freedom. The words of the late Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen reign true now more than ever, that a nation always gets the kind of politicians it deserves. If a time ever comes when the religious Jews, Protestants, and Catholics ever have to suffer under a totalitarian state which would deny to them the right to worship God according to the light of their conscience, it will be because for years they thought it made no difference what kind of people represented them in Congress, and because they abandoned the spiritual in the realm of the temporal. And I will add this, whenever we are not praying, whether it be for ourselves, for our families, and for our nation and our society, we are leaving them all unprotected. And we are like open targets, and Satan can go right after us and those we love without any problems. We need warriors of prayer that are willing to stand up and say to Satan, to his face, you want to come after me? You want to come after my family, after my community, after my nation? Then you better be willing to get through me. If we are truly one nation under God, as we claim to be, then we had better start acting like it. Not only by turning back to prayer, but turning back and acknowledging and giving due worship to the Father who created us, redeemed us, and sanctified us, and bestowed on us those inalienable rights confirmed by our nation's constitution, the right to life, the right to liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.